listening to Vet Candy.
Needle on the record.
Welcome to another episode of Vet Candy Life. I'm Renee Michelle.
And I'm Dr. Quincy Hawley.
This show is brought to you by VetPro Central, a free veterinary recruiting service for job seekers. Visit VetProCentral.com for more info.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Let's face it can be difficult finding a veterinary job that's right for you, even in today's market. Location, salary, benefits, work-life balance, it's a lot to consider, but it doesn't have to be hard. Let VetPro Central help you find your next job, and not just any job, the right job, with the right pay, benefits, location, and culture to start the next chapter of your career and life the right way. Don't settle for less. Visit VetProCentral.com today.
Today, we're going to be talking about the workplace environment and a toxic team.
Woo! Okay.
Right?
Yep.
If you've been in the industry for a minute, you know that across the board, across the nation, probably across the globe, when you're putting together teams, you can sometimes find yourself in an environment where toxicity is bleeding into the day-to-day life. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I've experienced this firsthand.
Yep.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
In multiple places.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've even seen it in many hospitals across, like, our state, right? Mm-hmm. And so it has nothing to do with location. Mm-hmm. You can find a toxic team anywhere in the United States and probably, as she said, globally within this industry. But we've got some tips, we got some tools, we got some strategies for today to combat those things.
Absolutely. Right? We would never just bring up a conversation and, you know, not get us out of the valley.
Yeah.
We got to climb out of the valley. We recognize the valley. The valley is that, you know, the environment is in need of some change.
Yep.
And then how do we get out of that? So let's talk about let's start with maybe what does it look like in the environment you know, what are people experiencing?
Oh, yeah.
How do you know if your team or if your environment is toxic?
Right.
You know, so how does that show up in our lives?
Well, there's always that one person, right? On the team who...
If you're lucky, it's just one.
Yeah. There's at least one who maybe they've been at that practice for a very long time.
Maybe
they're sort of a favorite of the owner or from leadership within the hospital. Mm-hmm. And they have power.
Oh.
Right. And sometimes just resentment and animosity and everything else, it seems like,
bitterness,
right?
Bitterness.
It's like, why are you so angry?
Yeah. I've worked with, and it doesn't matter the role. It transcends roles.
Yep.
Meaning it could be a technician, it could be a receptionist,
it could be a veterinarian.
It
could be any of them.
It could be any person within the practice.
Right.
So I've worked with people who have thrown charts at me, who have, you know, yelled at me, who have, I mean, it's kind of wild.
How does that affect your experience as a veterinary professional, or in your case, a veterinary nurse? How does that affect you to have somebody chuck a chart at you? You know, that's pretty serious.
I cried a lot in my early days.
There you go.
I sought management help. And luckily at the time when that happened, like when someone threw a chart at me, I was able to go to my management and they helped me navigate that situation.
Okay.
And they helped stand behind me in sort of defining how I was going to handle that situation. And then what did it look like for the rest of my career? You know, and one of the pieces of advice that my manager from my first vet clinic gave to me was, you are the only person who is responsible for you. Like, again, going back to mindful responses, mm-hmm. is you cannot change the circumstances, you cannot necessarily change other people, but how you, you know, respond to that situation
Absolutely.
Is going to change your experience
Yep.
in that moment, and then also forward. Because, you know, we treat people how, excuse me, we teach people how to treat us.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And one of my favorite parts about this subject of toxic team members or toxic teams all together is that you and I, we understand that hurting people oftentimes hurt people, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so knowing that, you can actually look at the individual who is the toxic team member and you know that they're going through something or they have gone through something at some point. And so now, as a strategy, you have a leg up.
To change your perspective.
You have a leg up against them. And you can look at them in whatever way that you choose. So one of my favorite analogies comes from Wallace Wattles. He says that men and women are like a basket of bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right? And so one thing that I know from studying that is that you wouldn't look at a lily bulb, like mm-hmm. the flower lily, and throw the bulb out to the trash because of its hideous appearance. Because you know that within that bulb is a very, very, very beautiful flower. Let me tell you something. I have practiced this over and over and over and over and over again. And now client communication, whether they're an a-hole or mm-hmm. a really nice person, it is really easy because you know deep down inside that every single person has that lily flower hidden deep within them. And check this out. If you treat people like a lily, oftentimes they respond like a lily.
Mm. Yeah. That's really important. You know, up to 83% of people won't, I'm like jumping here, but it, in my mind, it makes sense. Up to 83% of people won't report harassment in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, like you were talking about, our perspective of what that situation looks like,
right.
matters. Because if, you know, if more than one person is looking at the lily bulb
yep.
like a bulb and not like a lily, then, you know, sort of getting this pile on.
Like piranhas.
Yeah.
Like piranhas.
Yeah. So as a leader, you know, handling as a leader of the support staff, I've witnessed staff members who were less supportive of a new employee handling aggressive animals, sort of joking about it and, you know, just not handling the situation in a respectful way, not handling it in a teachable moment sort of way, but instead, you know, shaming the new onboarding member and forgetting that they too were once new, they too were less skilled, they too were, even if you are skilled, maybe it's just not your forte. That's why there is a team in place, because everyone has their own puzzle piece that makes that work.
Yep.
And, yep. you know, you don't have to be stellar at everything in order to be a valuable member of the team. So there's a lot of ways that we can come at this, but, you know, you're going to see it like in something like that.
Yep.
You know, that could sometimes, it comes up, and then not only does it happen, but what then is done about it? So if you see it, what do? You don't have to necessarily be a leader in order to say something to your other team members, in order to stand up for the person who may be the current victim in that circumstance, in order to empower them. You might be able to go to your other leadership. You know, you might be able to approach the person themselves. There's lots of different options. So in case like that, you've got a few options. You know, you could do all of the above. You handle the situation. You say something, you know, to the support staff. You say something to the person at that maybe, you know, if the circumstances are revolving around, and then you go to management to kind of follow up for those things.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Are you dreaming about an amazing job in sunny California? Let me tell you about this amazing opportunity. What makes this hospital in Pasadena, California, such a special place? The veterinary owner and her theme park designer husband actually designed the hospital with calmness and comfort in mind, with lots of light, calming blue accents, and custom details throughout, including piped-in soft jazz music. This animal hospital is beyond beautiful. This hospital is not only a masterpiece in design, it is a woman-run, family-owned practice that is passionate about the community. And they're looking for a practice manager and an associate veterinarian. And speaking of the community, Pasadena is masterpiece itself, and only 10 miles away from downtown Los Angeles. Pasadena has it all. A gorgeous city with historic buildings, amazing landscapes, and of course, it's close to beautiful California beaches. Want to learn more about this dream job or learn about other opportunities? Check out vetprocentral.com for more information. We are in the dream job finding business.
I kind of have mixed feelings. I've heard quotes where 20% of your people give you 80% of your problems, and you should just let those 20% go. But I've also heard that one man's trash is another man's treasure. And so maybe they would be better if the leadership were better at times. It's certainly possible.
Like if they could maybe thrive somewhere else.
Or maybe even in that same hospital environment. Like, do you really have to let them go? Or is there something, a conversation that hasn't happened yet? It's the gang up effect or the piranha effect where people in the hospital look at an individual and say, we're going to target that individual, right? And make them seem like they're the bad person.
Like a mean girl situation,
like a mean girl type situation. Yeah. You can make someone look really bad if everyone's always picking out the smallest little thing that they do wrong. And then it looks like that person's bad. And so you as a leader, you've got to rise above that and know that, like Wallace says, there's a lily in everybody. And even the people who are maybe acting like piranhas. Now, when I talk about that lily phenomenon, there's something we have to be careful about, and that is things like harassment. Yeah. And so there's a B word that you talk about all the time. I want you to go into it a little bit. Like boundaries, right? As a leader, you have to have cultural hospital boundaries. Like certain things just aren't acceptable. I don't care if you got a lily inside or some other flower inside of you. Like you can't smack them on the butt.
Exactly. And
now you have to go home. Basically, right? Yeah. When that happens, you have to go home. But there are
boundaries that have to take place, and boundaries that have to be established, renegotiated. You know, if a boundary is broken, what do you do to repair that boundary? If the boundaries aren't there, what do we do to establish them? You know, what do we do to renegotiate them if things change? So you have often in veterinary professions, you have someone who's in the clinic, they hire from within, and they move up in rank. They get a promotion. And so that shifts things, that shifts like little tectonic plates in the clinic. And so it takes time for, you know, this forming of the team to get used to the changes in that. And so there's some research that you can do for the forming and storming of the teams and the changes that happen and how you can help foster the right type of team in the right time.
Right. It's like, we're not saying that people don't deserve to get fired at some point in time, right? If the offense is bad enough, then have the boundaries there to say, if you break this rule, you have to go. But because, I worked at a hospital where we had a turnover of 72 people in 2 years. Like, I literally sat there and counted. That means people that, while I was there, they started working there, and they no longer work there 2 years later. Now, did all 72 people, the ones who got fired, do they need to get fired? Was there any coaching involved in that? Was there any like personal mentorship? Was there any guidance within that? And I believe that we can decrease these numbers.
Yeah.
With some of these tools and strategies, like we talk about, leadership training, mm-hmm. coaching, all that.
You know, and you really gotta, you've gotta have the right pair. I think that managers, practice managers, leadership who are doing the hiring, owners who are hiring practice managers, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it that sometimes we don't give them credit for. You know, and so when we're working with leaders who are recognizing these things, I think that they need to be celebrated. I think that they need to really know that they are doing right by their staff,
right.
that they're doing the things that pushes the profession as a whole forward, right? Because if you're standing up for yourself as a staff member,
yep.
and you're stuck in this old school way of working, then it's hard to move forward. You know, if you come to your leadership because you had an altercation, you know, an interaction that was not acceptable between you and a client or you and a staff member, right? And the leadership doesn't do anything about it, right? You are trying to take action, you're stuck in a system. So I think it's really important that everyone be on the same page and recognizing where you're at on that page, because if you're not, then, you know, what are we doing for the profession? We're, you know, the dinosaurs of the profession if we don't change our ways. So I think it's important to be having these topics discussed about openly and looking for solutions. And, you know, one thing that we've worked with managers, they don't always get to, you know, whether it be managers or other staff, they don't always get the opportunities to talk to other people. So something that many professionals will experience is the loss of gratitude because there is no frame of reference. And so if you had all good days, let's say you worked at like a cat clinic and you saw 12 patients a day, you would find things to pick out and potentially complain about.
Right.
Whereas you might cover a shift for a person at a dog and cat practice who sees minimum 30 patients a day, so double with another species, with surgeries, with drop-offs, with boarding, you know, and go, whoo, I have no grounds to really complain about us not stocking the same litter that I wanted, you know, like that. So that's really important. I actually encourage people to, if you get the opportunity, you know, working maybe two locations to see that, you know, some of these problems are universal,
right?
And some of them are, you know, issues that aren't really as big as what we tend to make them out to be.
Right.
You know,
right.
Some people, they get, like, if someone takes a pen out of their pen cup, they're like running through the clinic looking for like, who took my pen? It was purple. I had a don't bite me sticker on it. You know, you put those little stickers so that everyone knows, like, stop what you're doing. Let's find this pen. And because stress narrows our view. This is a fact. Stress narrows our view, and we become very focused on these things that, in, you know, in the grand scheme of life, you know, okay, will it matter in a year? That's a really good question to ask yourself, you know, will it matter in a year?
Exactly.
To kind of get yourself out of that.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Guess what? Dream jobs do exist. And let me tell you about this one. The folks at this mega animal hospital care just as much about the environment as they do about taking the best care of their clients' pets. On May 18th, 2008, the center opened the doors to its brand new eco-friendly 22,000 square foot state-of-the-art facility in upstate New York. The public area of the hospital looks more like a park than a traditional veterinary hospital, and the earth-friendly design is both functional and inviting. But don't let the looks fool you, because behind the approachable exterior is a hospital with cutting-edge technology. This 25-plus veterinary doctor practice features a full-service hospital with a 24/7 care and specialty services as well. This 25-plus veterinary doctor practice features a full-service hospital with 24/7 care and specialty services as well. It is one of the largest privately owned practices in the state. That's not all. The community surrounding the hospital is an amazing place to live. The area is number 2 on the list of best places to relocate, most likely due to the natural beauty, prolific art scene, and an affordable cost of living that is 14.4% below the national average. These jobs offer a superior salary and benefit package, a generous signing bonus, mentorship opportunities, and an amazing team. This job would be perfect for the general practitioner or a specialist. Want to learn more about this dream job or learn about other opportunities? Check out vetprocentral.com for more information. We are in the dream job finding business.
And now we're going to hear from my girl, Alyssa Magus, the co-founder of Empowering Veterinary Teams.
Hi, this is Alyssa Magus from Empowering Veterinary Teams. I'm here to talk to you about why Empowering Veterinary Teams is what it is and its importance in the veterinary field. What we're going to go through today is talking about identifying leaders, how to train them to own their awesome, and then in turn grow the existing team. This is critical in our industry because it's going to increase job satisfaction, overall eliminate that negative toxic culture, and also increase longevity and overall success of the veterinary practice. So let's go ahead and dive into this. Identifying team leaders. How does one go about doing this? It's a little bit easier when you're in a referral or specialty setting because you have all different types of departments at your disposal. You have your internal medicine, you have oncology, surgery, anesthesia, ICU, etc. In a general practice setting, it might be a little bit more of a challenge because you all work together at similar levels. However, you're going to have individuals within your team that are highly skilled in areas and other individuals that are highly skilled in other areas. What you need to do in a leadership position or when working with another trainer or consultant is identify those people. So say Sarah is excellent at jugular sticks and you have Alex that's incredible at intubating those tricky cats. You have them talk it through what their methodology is, how it works for them, and then in turn, they will relay that information to their team. That gives them the acknowledgement that their skills are appreciated, valued, and important, and then spreads that wealth of knowledge throughout the team. Now, those skilled individuals that we just discussed may be incredible technicians, nurses, and assistants, but they don't necessarily know the best methodology of how to impart that knowledge. So that's when you have to train your trainers. And that comes in the form of workshops, making sure that they get the ability to continuously develop their skills and learn new ones within the realm of expertise, as well as adding in those other factors of emotional intelligence, learning and teaching styles, communication techniques, and how to incorporate that in the veterinary setting. Once you've identified how your skilled professionals within each department teach, how they learn, how they communicate, and how they impart that knowledge, they are ready to train the rest of their team. Then it comes into empowering the entire team to own their awesome. This is where the training program comes into play, and it's critical. Our overall well-being benefits when there's one less job in our brains that we have to master. If you have that clinical skill already in your repertoire, you are ready to go and you can focus on taking care of your body, your mental capacities, and any other aspects that you feel need some more support. In this regard, you're going to need to set up weeks of one-on-one training, group sessions, hands-on skills, webinars, and using didactic models to make sure that these guys are ready to go before they're poking and prodding and intubating a live patient. So, your three-step process: identify your team leaders, train those leaders, and then in turn, train and empower your veterinary team. If you'd like to learn more, please check us out at empoweringveterinaryteams.com.
Right. I always love getting advice from Alyssa and just hearing all the good information that she has for us as veterinary professionals. And I kind of want to switch gears a little bit.
Yeah.
And talk about how can we prevent having a toxic team in the first place?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's the whole hiring aspect of that, which I don't want to touch with a 10-foot stick. Like, what hiring metrics you use to pick a non-toxic team member, because sometimes it's really hard, right?
Sure.
It's just a short interview. We can't really fill a person out completely. But there's something else that I believe, and we've seen this with some of the people that we work with, some of the hospitals and practice managers, culture.
Right.
Hospital culture. If the overall hospital culture is a positive one, an uplifting one, one that focuses on well-being, diversity, equity, inclusion, and leadership, and just progressiveness,
yeah,
there's no room for negativity, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Because if something negative comes into this positive environment, it's not going to feel welcome there.
Right.
You won't even have to kick it out.
It's like a repellent.
It'll either morph into something positive, or it'll just creep out. It'll phase itself out.
Yeah.
And we see that all the time, right? Where the team will come to the practice manager and say, this person, I know they seem good in the interview, but are we sure they align with our positive culture that we have here at this hospital?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And we've seen things like that. So really focusing on building a culture that fosters a certain type of individual and a certain type of behavior can in and of itself decrease or eliminate altogether toxic teams.
Yeah, the drama of things.
Yep, absolutely.
I can't agree more, you know, and there's so many components to it, you know, whether it's mindful communication or whether it's, like you said, the hiring, you know, the coaching that takes place when boundaries are crossed. So there's a lot of different ways that you can begin to integrate a positive culture into your workplace and sort of inoculate for toxic teams, right? You know, if you have a toxic team, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
There are solutions that are out there. And say you're in a toxic team and, you know, you're not in a leadership position, there are opportunities for you to change your experience still under the same circumstances, under that same roof. And then, of course, there's opportunities to look elsewhere, too.
Mm-hmm. How would you guide a practice manager who's watching this right now, who wants to, they say, culture. Culture's the answer. He said culture's the answer. Maybe it's the answer. How do you begin to change culture for the better, if you will? Are there any tips that you have for that?
I think you need to assess what the culture is currently.
Okay.
And to figure out what the number one, not the most urgent thing.
Right.
There's lots of fires in a vet practice every day that we all put out.
Sure. Yeah.
But the most important thing.
Right. Yeah.
You want to focus on the most important thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you need to just identify where you guys stand for right now before you can even move towards what that most important thing is.
And let me jump in.
Yeah.
Take an honest look.
Yeah.
Right?
Talk to
what's
your people.
There, for sure.
Because the perception, we talk about perception a lot, the perception of what you have. Sometimes our teams are our babies and we have blind spots. Humans have blind spots.
Yep.
When you care a lot about something, you're going to have a blind spot. So get other opinions and be really open to that. Don't take it personally. Don't become shut down and defensive. You know, you have to come into it with an open mind. Otherwise, you are closed, you're defensive, you're not going to move things forward.
Absolutely.
We are reading a book, and here's what I'll recommend. It's called The 15 Commitments to Conscious Leadership. It will change the game for anyone who is, if you're a vet, if you're a pre-vet student, if you're looking as an employee or as an employer. It's going to help you shape.
There are a lot of good, really good pointers in that book. And we've already learned a lot already. And there's one more thing I want to add to building that culture that you want for your hospital. It all starts with, and Oprah says this all the time, I actually got this from Oprah. What is your intention? What is your intention?
Yeah.
Is your intention to have that amazing team? And then to develop a vision behind that, what would a really awesome team look like to you?
Or right? Is your intention, here's what I'm going to tell you, oftentimes happens, is it focused on the money?
Yep, and
oftentimes it focused on the production?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
we like money, but
sometimes
still,
it's the cart before the horse. And so there is a business case for putting well-being at the forefront because organically you'll start to see those changes in the business metrics.
Right, right.
If you focus on the workplace, if you focus on the well-being. Here's the thing. Happy employees, they work harder.
They work harder. They call out less.
They call out
less. They get sick less.
They make their production levels are higher. Happy employees are the way to go.
And there's research to show all of this, right?
Yep, yeah, for absolutely. Sure. And I mean, that's where the work is at. You know, that's what we do, right? Is help, how we make it simple to bring well-being to the teams, you know, through Get Motivated. And that's something, it's just remarkable, the changes that can occur.
And having a hospital with an amazing culture, where people are excited to come to work in the morning, and maybe they're not happy to leave in the evenings, but they feel good when they leave the hospital after work. They feel like they have fulfilled their life's purpose for that day, right? It makes a really big difference. And ultimately, we want to, as veterinary professionals, to enjoy veterinary medicine and not to painfully endure through this career, okay? So it's a strong recommendation from both Renee and I to prioritize, cultivate, and hopefully maintain your well-being as an individual and as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see drastic just results from doing all of that.
In both your career and your life.
Yeah.
Because one thing that we hear consistently with the conversations we have is that life is hard and work is hard.
Ooh.
And so they tend to...
If you get stuck between that, you're in trouble.
Yep.
You're in trouble.
So you've really got to stop the cycle somewhere.
Yep. For sure. For sure. Well, this has been a fun conversation. I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
Yeah.
Right.
As
because it focuses on ourselves. And knowing the effects can be fuel to actually taking action in order to make a change.
That's right.
So we talked about a lot today, you guys, and I think it's important that we're having these discussions on the toxic environment, what it looks like, how to manage it, when it focuses on yourself, what you can do as an individual, as an organization. If you guys have questions, if you'd like us to elaborate, drop them in the comments.
That's right. And don't forget to follow us on social at MyVetCandy. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And this wraps up another episode.
It's Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
It's Vet Candy Radio.